This conference will now be recorded.
Praise God. All right. So first I want to do review. And the name of this study is How Faith Works. It's a step-by-step understanding of faith. And the main reason we're doing this is, believe it or not, we who are Christians, who are supposed to be living by faith, it's the thing that gets us to God. You'd be surprised how many don't understand faith. They're living by something else. A lot of us are living by a hope, but not faith. And that's actually end up hurting us in our walk. As I started last week, and for those of you who are not able to see my screen, I encourage you to go to the website. It's posted on there as well. So we started in the very beginning where we said a lot of people's faith starts and ends with Matthew 21:22, where it says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And we love that because it just gives us an instant way of getting things. But in my lifetime, I've heard and I've seen many people have come to me heartbroken because they'll say, but I believed I was going to receive it and it didn't work. What's going on? And it's only because they took one scripture. They took one thing to define the most important part of our walk, because this is the thing that gives us access to everything else, and that's faith. So we're going to hopefully, when we come out of the other end of this, we'll truly understand it, and then we can really apply it in the way that's needed. First of all, we went through the section of, do we really understand faith? And I gave some interesting facts that the lack of faith is the only thing that hinders Jesus, that our prayers are powered by our faith. Okay, it gives us full access to God. The only way you can get to God is by faith, and faith is what protects us from Satan. Now, and I give those, and I just gave, there's a million others that faith, you know, interesting things that faith does for us. But you want to keep in mind that if you don't use it by faith, you're putting yourself in danger. I've seen people use other ideals, like they say, against Satan. I put this up in my house, and I also do this, and then I read this twice, and they'll have some things they put together that they're saying that are fighting against Satan, and they're putting themselves in danger because they're stepping outside of faith. Faith is always going to be 100% relying on God. It's not applying a little bit of God with a whole bunch of other stuff. Okay, anytime you apply something else, as you're going to see later, that's doubt. And doubt eliminates faith. Okay? We also seen in the section that you cannot be a Christian without faith, and not just faith, the right faith. Okay? We can't live pleasing God without faith. Okay? You will not be able to please him. It's impossible to please him without faith. I have to have faith in order to please him. As it says in Hebrews 11:6, it says it is possible, without faith it's impossible to please God. That he rewards those who earnestly seek him, okay? And we are only accepted or acceptable through faith. It's God's grace receiving his peace. Now, what that means is, remember, grace is the thing that's going to get us into heaven. We have to get into God's grace. But it doesn't mean he just gave it to everybody. He offers it to everybody. That's why he says God so loved the world that he who believes shall have everlasting life and will not perish. That belief part, we're going to talk about that, hopefully God willing, today. But we have to understand that my faith is what leads to the belief, which gets me to the grace. So if I don't have faith, I never get to the grace. Please understand that. He doesn't just say, here, you can have it anyway. That means the whole entire world would be saved. But he makes very clear that's not going to happen. And we must not get faith. Just get faith by itself. You know, some people say, once I get faith, I'm done. No, no. I have to get faith, and then I have to live and stay in faith to be a Christian. Do you understand that? Now, a lot of people just think once you have faith, and I know a lot teach on eternal security as nothing else can happen. And I get that, and I understand that. And we have many studies, but as the Bible shows, that faith is something that I have to choose to stay in. I have to abide in him. If you looked at the order of my steps we did a couple of weeks ago on abiding in Christ. And that's why he says, if you abide in me. So faith is something I have to choose to continue to do in him. So then we started off on going through step by step. And we first saw that faith is sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, a lot of people already know that. Okay, a lot of people know that definition. And we'll say that. And they'll say, yep, I have faith. The problem is, and this is where most Christians miss it, is what do you have faith in? Because that definition of faith is faith, period. But what makes a Christian is we have faith in God. Okay? And that's where we last left off. So this last, where we're starting, is where it says true faith is based on God's will, not my wants. And when we start turning God into a genie, instead of living for him, is where we start going astray. When we thought God was here to serve us, and that all of our wants is what he's going to give us, once again, we start going astray. As it says in 1 John 5, 14 through 15, it says, this is the confidence we have. So now it's about to tell me what confidence we have to have, which displays our faith. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything, watch this, according to his will, he hears us. Now stop there for a minute, because he's basically saying, so if I ask him something and it's not according to his will, he doesn't hear us. So that's why some people who are believing they'll receive, if it's not based on his will, it's going nowhere. Now, overall, even though his will is a little more complex, to break it down, there's two. When it comes to his will, two categories. There's his universal will, which you can find in his Bible. In other words, whatever you ask better be in line with his word. And then there's the individual will, where he has for each of us. That's why I play a part in a body, you play a part in a body. Our lives are going to be different. Different things are going to happen. So how does God want me to react in my situation? Well, being guided by the Bible and the decisions I make, the way I know that will is shown in Romans 12, verse 2, where it says, if you no longer conform to the patterns of this world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to know his will, or to test and know what his will is. Okay, so those two things are very important, because it'll or guide your prayers in the right way. You'll approach God with the right type of faith, a faith that's in his will. That's then, like it says in verse 15, or where it says, we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Now, that just changed it for a lot of people. Okay, it changed. It's not just based on your feeling of belief. It's going to be based on true belief. Once again, we're getting ready to go over that. Okay, so we have to know that. So it has to be based on his will for it to be true faith. Now, the right faith will have the right purpose. James 4, verse 3 says, when you ask, you do not receive. So he's stopping here. He's letting us know, okay, for those of us who said, I had faith in something I prayed for, here's a big reason why you don't get it. It says, because you ask with wrong motives or purpose. What was your reason? He says that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now, I'm sure there's a bunch of you, you know, thinking to yourself, well, yeah, that's why I asked for it, because I wanted it for myself. Now, what he's showing us here is the pleasures can't be the purpose. See, that's our problem. Everything I want to do is to glorify him. Remember, it says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Do it to glorify God. Now, there's nothing wrong with having pleasure in it, but pleasure can never be the purpose. And that's our problem. We live for our pleasure. And that's where what's taken us away from God. And he says, so a lot of times God says no for our own good. In fact, the thing that first hurt us, and we got to see it in the beginning with man, if you remember when Satan kind of presented the tree and gave her, you know, that God was telling a lie and he was saying all this other stuff, he backed out and then she saw. And if you notice what she said, and you get a chance, go back to Genesis 3, it says, when she saw that the fruit was good for eating and gaining wisdom, she took some, she ate it. So when she saw, it was good, and she was wrong. And that's what our pleasure do. Our pleasure tends to make us think this is good. This is how people become addicts. This is why we dabble in things that we're clearly knowing we have no business doing, because it gives us pleasure. And then our pleasure becomes our purpose. Do you understand that? And many of us, if we're not careful, we're not living by faith. We're living for our pleasure. And that's why he says, a lot of times he says no. He says, because you ask with the wrong purpose, and the purpose based on you, not the purpose of glorifying God. Now, here are some things to be aware of when it comes to faith. First of all, receiving God's word for faith without faith produces nothing. I know you may say, what does that mean? Look what it says in Hebrews 4, verse 2. It says, for we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. Now, he's talking about the Israelites. You get a chance to go back and read Hebrews 4, 3 and 4. And it kind of gives a whole understanding of what happened in the Old Testament and how they failed and where we're at today. And it gets to this point where it says, so we got the same gospel preached to us. It says, just as they did. So in other words, we're getting this word to us. Well, watch this. The message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith. What that means is you have a lot of Bible scholars. They might even be able to quote scripture to you. But if you're not applying it, if you're not listening in this Bible study to receive it, understand it, and apply it, it's worthless to you. You're just wasting your time listening to me talk, unless you enjoy hearing me talk, but that's okay. But you understand that, in which we're putting more emphasis on, once again, what I want and not on what he says, okay? And we realize that faith has to be combined to me reading it. What that means is I'm going to the word with the purpose of using it. That's my sole purpose. I got to understand it so I can apply it. This is why we have question and answer. So you can come in and go, okay, can you go over this scripture with me so I can understand it in order for me to apply it? Okay, so I have to receive the word with faith. Very important. Okay, and I skipped something. I apologize for that. I think y'all might have noticed that. I just wanted nobody didn't tell me about it. We obtain faith from hearing the word. If you saw right above it here, sorry about that. Because in order for me to get faith, I only can get it from the Bible. If there's anybody out there who is not going to church that's preaching the Bible, or you're not studying the Bible, and I'm talking about a combination, but you say you have faith, you've been misled. Because the Bible clearly tells us in Romans 10, verse 17, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Now, why did he break it up that way? First of all, the hearing of the message shows the purpose of why we want to go to church and why we need to go to church, because the message has to be taught. It's not just me reading it. That's a very important part of it, but it has to be heard. But he makes very clear, not just any message, and don't be one of those that just go to church to say you go to church. The message has to be the word of Christ. Very important. Okay, so if you go to church and they say something that makes you feel good, they say something that motivates you, but it's not out the Bible, you might as well go to, you know, a movie, because it's going to last for whatever it's lasting for, but it's going to do absolutely nothing to give you faith. Okay, faith comes from hearing the message. That's another important thing. If you go to church and you're distracted and you're doing all other things, or you're thinking all other things, and you miss what's being preached to you, it's meaningless to you. So you go to church with a purpose, first of all, to hold the ministers accountable for preaching the word. I always tell new Christians, make sure you find a Bible teaching church. There's a lot of motivational churches out there, and they can be very dangerous because they cater to your flesh. You want something that's catering to your spirit. And that's why it says hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Okay, and then we get to the part of then you got to receive that message with faith. So in order for me to get faith, I have to hear the word. But then to receive the word, I better apply it. Apply faith. Okay? Hopefully that's not too confusing. Now, faith is meaningless if not displayed. This is what I was talking about earlier. And to show you that it's not coming from me, and once again, I encourage you to read all of James 2, but I'm just going to give you the two sections in it that really show that point. It says in James 2:17, and we're going to see James 2:26. James 2:17 says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. What does that mean? Let's look at 26 and I'll explain it. It says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now, faith is going to be that I trust in God, fully trust in God. Okay, and I think if I asked everybody to say that, you all would say that. Amen. Everybody would go, I fully trust in God. But it's meaningless, because then when life happens, how do I display it? If I truly have faith, then it will be shown. Now, some of us are already failing because there's certain things we already read in the Bible and we're not doing it. So we're not showing faith. You can say you have faith in God, but he talks about grace giving. Some of us are not doing that. So I'm lacking faith. In our relationships, if I'm not being the husband that the Bible says I'm supposed to be, I'm not displaying faith. If my wife is not being the wife that the Bible tells us she's supposed to be, we're not doing it by faith. If we raise our kids in any other way other than what God's word tells us to, we're not doing it by faith. Do you understand that? Okay, so we can read it, say amen, feel good about ourselves, but if we're not applying what he says, it's dead. No faith. You understand that? So faith is supposed to be displayed. It needs to be seen. Now, I'm going to show you how we know it's called belief. It shows down here in the next one where it says works of faith is belief. A demonstration of belief is displayed by Abraham. James 2, 20 through 24, he says, "You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" Watch this. Verse 21, he says, "Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did." Now watch this. "And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Now, hopefully, if you were paying attention to the sermon we did before on his kingdom and his righteousness, you get an understanding of we are never righteous. We get credited righteousness. Now, think of credit. When you get credit, if somebody gives you a credit card, there's a certain amount of money on it. You didn't earn that. You have to eventually pay it back. The difference on our credit is it's already paid for. You understand it? But we didn't earn it. So we get this credit of righteousness that we did not earn only when we believe. He just showed us how to believe when we apply what we believe in God, what God said, to action. Now, look at your own lives. Are we doing stuff based on what he says, period? Now, some of us used to do stuff on what we hoped he would do for us, on what we thought was right, on what we hoped would come true, all this stuff we mixed up, while instead of saying what I'm doing is fully based on what he said. Do you get that? Okay, if you ever go back and you read the story, Abraham was told to go sacrifice his son. Okay, and this is the son he was waiting for. This is part of the blessing, the main part of the blessing he was to receive. And it wasn't until he was 100 years old that he finally got this blessing. And then God says, okay, now go kill him. And what he did, he had to take a 3-day journey. Now, most of us would, first of all, immediately say, no, this is the blessing you gave me. And we make up some excuse to argue with God. Abraham said, this is God. If he tells me to do it, I'm going to do it. That's faith. That's why all you want to hear from me is the word. That's why sometimes when people read something in the word and then they go to their pastor and say, you know, I struggle with what this is saying. You're trying to make me change something. I'm just a man just like you. I'm just a servant. Okay. All I can do is give you what he says. Think of it as if you went to the mailman and said, I really can't pay these bills. And he said, okay, I'll tell you what. And he takes them off of you and he leaves. Is that going to solve your problem? No. You just won't see what you have to pay for. Amen. And that would be me. If I just said, you know what? Don't listen to this part of the Bible. You know, God's going to bless you. And I said all this stuff. It could sound good. But if it's not based on his word, it's not faith and you're in danger. Belief is God said it. That settles it. So my job is just to give you what he says. You take what he says and you apply it. That's belief. Okay? Very important for us to have that. And that's why it ends with, and he was called God's friend. You see, a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. I think sometimes we get so hasty into trying to just push faith without works that you have a lot of people that think it's just some feeling you have, and by it, you're going to heaven. Please don't set yourself up. Faith is displayed. It's going to be your life. That's why it tells you how to live. He says, my righteous ones will live by faith. It didn't just say you'll have it. You'll live by it. Now, faith is strengthened by ministers that display God's power only, not their own. Okay, this is very important because you have a lot of those out there that are going to give you some things that are going to make you feel a certain way. But it does nothing to your faith. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, it says, my message and my preaching are not with wise and persuasive words. Now, Paul's inspired to let you know, I didn't come here to con you which unfortunately some of us get. You hear a minister that can really put words together. They're excellent speakers. Their vocabulary is outstanding. I'm none of those, and I praise God for that, because then I can't put that on, you know, on me as the thing that's luring or encouraging people. And he's saying, I don't want those words, because that came from man. He was like, I didn't use these wise and persuasive words to make you look how brilliant I am that you follow and do what I say. He says, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Now, make no mistake, that may include at times miracles and things that, you know, only God can show us through his power. But it's also showing preaching of his word in every situation. That's why it says a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And it made very clear, in other words, all you should hear from me is what the Bible says. Does that make sense? That I'm displaying what his word says. So you give me a situation in life, and this is where a lot of the sermons and Bible studies come from. It comes from a topic in life, and all I'm supposed to do is give you what the word says about that. Not my brilliant and my experience and how I feel about it. None of that means anything. I'm supposed to just give you what the word says, and it demonstrates the Spirit's power, because the word is spiritual. And why is that so important? So that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. There are many people that, if ministers are good enough, or even dangerous enough, if you will, they'll listen to them over God. I told you I had a situation where a person came to me about marriage, and the person they wanted to marry wanted nothing to do with God. And I showed them the word where it talked about being unequally yoked. And it was clear as day, and I think all of us are aware that's in the Bible. She was really upset. Okay, and she left. There was a church she was going to, and she went to her pastor and asked the same question. His answer was, no, God doesn't care about that as long as you're happy. She came back and told me that, and that was it. She ended up marrying the guy. Now, in her mind, this minister overruled God, even though I clearly showed it in the Bible. And she didn't come in there and say, and she didn't even go to her pastor and say, hey, can you show me that in the Bible so I make sure it's coming from God? She went, oh, you gave me the right answer. God is not going to go, oh, well, you were misled, so it's not your fault. This is our responsibility. That's why I always say, check me, hold me accountable, but be very careful not to look for somebody to say what you want to hear. Look for this word so you can depend on God. I don't want to ever hear you say, pastor said. You want to be able to say, well, the Bible says. Amen. You know, Jesus even heard some other ministers, if you remember, but when he went up against Satan, he said, it is written. He didn't go, well, my pastor said. You know, Satan would have torn him apart. And this is what we have to understand in life. Our word has to be based on God and God only. And Jesus displayed that. So what must we do with true faith? Once, okay, for we understand that. Understand, all action without faith are sin. Okay? Anything done outside of faith is doubt. This is what I was telling you earlier. Okay? So now, and I should have said, what must we do with true faith once we get it, or once we have it? So in Romans 14, verse 23, it says, but the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because he's eating is not from faith. And everything, everybody say everything, even though you're muted, that does not come from faith is sin. Now think about that, all right? So even if I do something that's okay, but my purpose for doing it wasn't God, I sin. That's a simplistic way of putting it, okay? If I do it only because you told me to do it, but I'm not sure, if I do it for any other purpose other than God, I sin. Think about that. So you can do something that's right, that's very legal, but if God wasn't your purpose for doing it, you sin. And that should kind of wake us up to, oh, wait a minute. That's why I got to live God's purpose. That's why he said, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. It should make us look at the most simplistic things, how you do your hair, which way you go to work, which job you take. Is all that for the glory of God? It'll make you really think of some of the decisions we make in life. But if they're not based on glory in God, if glorifying God, if it's not purposed by him, it's sin. Also, we must recognize doubt is a faith killer. We were talking about that earlier. Matthew 21, 21 through 22. It says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt. See, this is where, when the question came in about the, and ministers call it the mustard seed faith. It wasn't meant to be a type of faith. Okay, mustard seed faith is not a type of faith. He was just showing how small, because a mustard seed is very small that produces a very huge tree. And he was just saying, I just need very little faith. And some people go, well, I do. I have very little faith. Why isn't it working? Because of doubt. And that's what we just shown. If I do it for any other purpose, that's doubt. Did you get that? Okay. If my reasoning for doing it is not God, it's doubt. And that cancels out faith. That's what he said. I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. And we lack this today. We lack faith because we have so much doubt. Now, I think a lot of us used to think doubt was a feeling we got that it's not going to work. And I think that's where it ended. Not realizing, if we look at our lives, we have other purposes in our lives. Even though we call ourselves Christians, we have equal purposes, or sometimes things that are above God purposes. There are things in your life that if it changed today, you would leave what God said in a minute, because it's another purpose. But when God is my complete purpose, I'll go through everything, and every answer and everything that I do will be fully based on what God says. That's faith. Okay? Understand that. So true doubt is anything outside of God. So we must increase our faith and add to it. This is another very important part. So faith is something that you have to keep filling. That's why you have to keep going to church. You don't just become a Christian and then go take a vacation for the rest of your life until you die. No, it's a growing process. You must mature. In fact, we see in 2 Peter 1, 5 to 9, it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And then he goes through this whole entire recipe. Add to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now, we did a whole sermon on this, because, and we call it the recipe of perfection. Because in this, look what he says. He says, for if you possess these qualities in what? Increasing measure. Now, if I had a measuring cup, what would that look like? It would be a measuring cup that allowed whatever I put in it to keep growing. Okay? So it's increasing measure. Every day, my faith needs to grow more, as well as my goodness and as well as my knowledge and all of this stuff. It's not something you just become a Christian and stop. There's a maturity that I continually go through. So I have to possess these qualities in increasing measure, and they will keep you from becoming, watch this, or being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when it says in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's talking about relationship. Remember, we as Christians today are not religion, which is just routine. We're in relationship. In relationship, that word knowledge comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means an intimate knowledge of a relationship. Okay? So it's saying it will keep me from not being ineffective in my relationship with him and unproductive in my relationship with him. And a lot of us don't have relationship with him because we're not doing this. Our faith started and stopped when we first got saved, and then we're just going in circles. And that's not good. And that's why he says in verse 9, watch this warning, but if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind. Okay? Nearsighted and blind. Now, he uses nearsighted first, because he can't see what's coming. Because remember, nearsighted and farsighted are two different things. If you're nearsighted, you can't see far. If you're farsighted, you can't see near. So he's nearsighted. He's saying you can't see what's coming. Life is about to hit you, and you think, okay, I'm a Christian, I'm good. And you missed it. And then the blind just covers everything else. You're missing all the things that's going on. You'll call things blessings when they're not. You'll think things are going well when they're not. You'll go through trials and you'll complain, even though he says, count them pure joy. See, your blindness will come because of the lack of increasing and these qualities, especially in faith. It says, he is nearsighted. Yes.
I'm kind of stuck. I'm not really understanding about how do you add goodness to faith? What does that mean?
Excellent. So now even though that's a whole nother sermon, I'm going to give you this one, because this one is all of these qualities. That question is a good thing to add for each of these. Now, goodness is, when you add to it, it's the understanding of what godliness or goodness is. Because remember, only God is good. Okay. So in my faith, as I'm growing and understanding faith, I'm adding what his word tells me is good, and only that. So as I'm growing in faith, by faith, I go to his word. Okay, that's why you need the faith to first go to his word and do what he says. And then if he says do it, I apply it. Now, where people struggle with this is goodness, because only God is good, is we redefine good. Like if you look on this world and like in our country, we'll call some things good. You go to another country, they'll call some things good. And you're in your house, you'll call one thing good. Another person will call one thing good. I'll hear a song, I'll call it good. You'll call it bad. And we'll go through that because we like to define it by us. He's saying, no, add to your faith. As your faith increases, what God says, keep adding what God says. Keep adding to your faith. As you keep going to the word, keep adding what he says. So you're going to add to that goodness of what God is showing. The word for this goodness is showing that excellence, or showing that understanding of what he wants us to be. So you're going to do exactly what your father tells you. Remember when Jesus said that? He says, the world must understand I do exactly what my father tells me. Now, if we're being honest, how many of us really do that? I mean, don't we take some of the word and we're busy patting ourselves on the back, but then there's other parts where we're going, I don't know about that. I have certain enemies I just can't love. There are certain people I just can't forgive. You know what I mean? There are certain relationships I got to be in, right? So we're not adding goodness. But when a person truly has faith, and that's why it starts all of this together, a person is going to the word and saying, I'm going to do exactly what he tells me. And you'll see them totally rearrange their life based on God, because they're adding that goodness to their faith, right? And as they add the goodness to their faith, then they get to knowledge. And I'm not going to go through all of them. Like I said, we'll do that sermon sometime in the future, God willing. But the knowledge then gives me the understanding. You know, I gain this word. The word is spread out that we go searching him, and we gain the understanding and all that his word tells us, which gives us more goodness in order to add to more of our faith. And hopefully that pattern still works. Does that make sense? Did that help some?
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, in the future, hopefully we'll do that sermon again so you guys can see it, because we kind of break each of those down, because it's a recipe that you have to have each of these things. Okay. So hopefully you're getting that. So we must increase in our faith, and we must add to it. And then use faith to know what part we play in the body. Now, this is another thing that we struggle on. We all are part of an entire body. But in one way, we know this is wrong, because I think a lot of us teach our kids to be whatever they want to be. You can do whatever your heart desires, right? We tell them that. We tell them, you know, reach for the sky. And we say all this stuff that sounds great. Did you know, before you were born, God already knew what you were made to be? He already not just knew, he made the decision to what you were to be. Okay? So my job isn't to try to be what I want to be or try to be all that I can be. My job is to be what he says I am. That's faith. You understand that? So that's why we're supposed to raise our kids to be godly, not raise them to be all they can be. Kids today, I was reading an article about a young man who was the head of a Christian musical group, and he just came out today. I don't know if anybody's seen it and read the article, and it was on CNN, that he doesn't believe in God. And he said something that I've been hearing more of, that a lot of people that were his age group, and I think he's in his 20s, you know, around his 20s or 30s, a lot of kids in his age group feel the same way. They kind of go through the motions. They go to church. And our problem has been, because we weren't raising our kids to be godly, we raising our kids to be human. And humans go after what humans want. And God gets in the way. God doesn't fit our definition of good. He struggled with a lot of things. It's an article out there if you ever get a chance. And if anybody wants to talk about it, we will. But this is, it was very disturbing. But it's our fault. Look what it shows us here. It shows that we must understand we just play a part in ministry. Now, this is like the question that was asked, you know, don't we just go, you know, why we don't go to the doors and preach and you know, with the books and all that, like Jehovah's Witness do it. This is one reason. In 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 7. It says, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Now, he's naming two ministers, okay? And he was saying there was a group back then. One would go after Team Paul, one would go after Team Apollos. Now, I only listen to Paul's teachings, and I only listen to Apollos, you know, Apollos' teaching, and people were splitting apart. And he said, who are these two guys? This was Paul's inspired to say. He says, only servants through whom you came to believe. That's it. And a servant only presents what the master gives. Do you understand that? If Apollos was giving something different than Paul, there's a problem. And this is how we have to look at ministry. The way you test ministry is look at what the master says. In other words, what does the Bible say? If I come to you with some, God gave me some special word from some special thing, and I'm outside the word, you better be skeptical. You better be concerned, especially when it goes against what the word says. Then you better hold me accountable because I'm wrong. That's why he says, we're only servants, right? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord, everybody see this, has assigned to each his task. Now think about that for a minute. So it wasn't, that's why I'm trying to be careful never to call this my ministry, okay? There is a ministry that was given to me, but it's God's ministry given to me that I'm responsible for. In other words, I have to go answer to him for it. I can't mold it, and I can't have a dream to make it how I want it to be, so one day it'll turn out into this, and I'll have a statue of me. That becomes about me, okay? He's saying, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. Does that make sense? Like, if you went to work, and you were an accountant, but you did an excellent job at painting the whole entire office, are they going to go, man, you did such a great job, we're going to give you extra money, or are they going to fire you because you weren't doing the accountant job that you were supposed to be doing? And that's what we're doing. We keep doing stuff, want credit for it, but God will say, but I never asked you to do that. Amen? And that's where we're failing, because we're not doing what he assigned to us. And he breaks it down. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Why did I put that in bold? Because like he said, we're only servants. I just do a part. Other ministers do a part. You're a part of a ministry. You do a part. You know, we all do a part that God assigned us to do, and then God takes it from there. Too many of us go and try to save people, and we make matters worse. I always use the example, because he used the thing about planting. If I were to plant a seed in the ground, then I watered it, and I waited 5 minutes, nothing happened. If I dug it back up and tried to tear the seed apart and pull the tree out of it, that would work, right? And I think all of us know, no, it would not. Because that's not my part. I can't do that. Even today in science, they only can get but so far, but they can't be God. Do you understand? Even in their whole cloning thing, they have to take what God already made and just substitute, and they even still messing that up. Okay? It's God that makes it grow. And when I understand that, then what it did for me as a pastor, as a Christian, as a man, it made me realize I play a part. Make sure you play your part. So the question comes, well, how do I know my part? And that's what he's saying. It's saying, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. All right? Now, hopefully I just deflated a whole bunch of egos out there. God's not going to come down here and have an award ceremony for those who did more above and beyond based on what we thought. He's going to give it to those who did exactly what he said. That's why Jesus says, as my Father, the world must understand this, that I do exactly what my Father tells me. And hopefully each of us are just saying, I'm just doing what God put me here to do. And that's going to be where your faith is going to come in, to know what you were put here to do. And then it says, but only God, it's only God who makes things grow. Okay? So I won't get in the way by trying to do his job, and I won't get in the way by not doing my job. But I got to know my job. So how do I know my job? Look what he says. He gives the right amount of faith for all of us to play the part he chose each of us to play. Look what it says here in Romans 12, 3 through 6. And we'll close after this. It says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Okay, so he's stopping here for a minute, because I think a lot of us will say, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that. And like I said, from our parents who say this one flawed thing, you can do anything your heart desires, instead of saying, you can do anything God wills. If we raise them godly, as our kids grow up, they look to God, to live for God, right? We raise them up in them. So now we have a bunch of self-confident people headed for failure. Oh, they might have this temporary worldly success, but it'll be worldly failure if we don't readjust it. He says, do not think of yourself more highly than you are. Very clear. Why? Because the minute I do that, then I can't be made for what I'm supposed to do. What if the job God gave me, I thought was beneath me? I'm sure a lot of us have been there where you thought, oh man, I want to do this job over here. And he said, no, Keith, I want you to sweep. Now, a Christian would go, praise God. Give me that broom, man. I'm going to show you how to do it because God gave me the ability. I'm going to be the best sweeper that you've ever seen, right? I'm going to now glorify him in the job he gave me because all I want to do is glorify him, so I don't care what he gives me. But if I'm thinking of myself more highly, he'll give me the broom and I'll sit there like, what? Come on, God. Y'all see the problem? It's not faith. It becomes you, puffed up, pride. That's why he starts off, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, watch this, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Now, let me make this very clear. Even though we can do, as Jesus said, anything that he did, there's something you have to understand here. Only one person on earth had the full measure of faith, okay? Only one person had what was called the full measure of faith. That means they had all the faith to do everything God says. That was Jesus. But then how is he telling us we can do greater things than he has done? Because we are a part of a whole. So I get a measure. You get a measure. That's why the hand is made to do what a hand does. The eye is made to do what an eye does. The legs are made to do what leg does. This is why it's so hard for me to look at somebody else's life, okay? Because the way you build up a hand and the way you build up an eye is going to be different than the way you build up your legs. So I can't, as an eyeball, go, hey, why don't you do that same workout that you did on a hand, right? This is where we trust in him. And that's why he says, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. There's a measure that you have allotted for you, just as each of us has one body and many members. Do you see this? And these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So in other words, what I do is not for Keith. This is not a Keith Smith ministry to go out there and show my stuff. No. I'm a part. I can't do it without you. Do you understand that? The song Hezekiah Walker sings when it says, I need you to survive. He's absolutely right. Because I'm just a part. My part doesn't work without your part. And your part doesn't work without that other person's part. And so on. Okay? And that's why it says we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Think about that. Because hopefully it's going to make a lot of you think, because I have a lot of people going, well, then what's my gift? And that's where faith and the understanding of faith have to come into play. Any questions? Amen. All right. I encourage y'all, when we go through this, make sure y'all study it, get in your groups, talk about it. Questions come up, we go over it. This is not always easy to understand. But as you continue to grow in it, it becomes clearer and clearer to you because you'll be leaning more on the Spirit and less on your own understanding. Amen. All right. So if there are no other questions,